Speak to us now, Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We are now ready for your word. Father, we pray now that you would anoint our time in your word today. Bless not only the preaching of your word, but bless the hearing of your word. That the seed that goes forth will find fertile ground in our hearts and minds, that we can become all that you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sunday is coming. And if you're like my family, man, there are some routines in place. What do you do to get ready for Sunday? Some of you lay out your clothes on Saturday night. Some of you wait until you get up in the morning to decide what you're going to wear. Some of you are like my grandmother. My grandmother would cook her Sunday meal on Saturday. She would tell my grandfather and I that we were on our own. We had to make it the best way we could on Saturday, but her food would be ready as soon as we got home from church because she cooked on Saturday for Sunday. Some of y'all don't think about anything to eat. You're just worrying about where you're going to go to brunch after church on Sunday. Some of you rode to church in silence. Some of you had your music on. You came praying and praising and ready to come with worship on your mind. Some of you who are in leadership, you may have been running through what you're going to do to make sure the church service goes well. You have a routine as you prepare to go to church. But let me ask you a question. Do you have a routine Monday through Saturday to get ready to be church? See, I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that most of us, we spend more time planning on what we're going to do to go to church than we ever think about when it comes to being church. See, Christianity was never intended to be a once-a-week event that we attended. Christianity was intended to be a daily walk. God doesn't want joint custody. He doesn't want partial custody. God demands full custody of those who are his children. But here's what the problem is. We have been erroneously taught that somehow to be really used by God, you've got to feel a calling on your life to move from the pew to the pulpit. Somehow we've gotten this idea that the rest of us can be passive spectators, but it's God who calls you to really do ministry. And if you really are called to do ministry, you got to get up in the pulpit and put Reverend in front of your name. Truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, we all have a world to serve in. And God does not want to limit your service to a pulpit, and God certainly doesn't want to limit your service to 2 hours a week on a Sunday morning. So what do we do? Today, as we continue the celebration of our discipleship culture, I want to talk today from the thought, how to be, listen carefully, an everyday Christian. How to be an everyday Christian. See, I know some folk who can be hellacious during the week, but somehow they get a level of sanctity on Sunday. Oh, I know some folk, man. Now, don't make me cuss you out. It's Sunday. Don't hit me on Monday through Saturday. But Sunday, I'm trying to do right. Come on. How many of y'all know somebody, hopefully it's not the person you see in the mirror, who can be holy on the first Sunday because it's Communion Sunday? But don't push him on them other Sundays. But as long as the Lord's Supper in play, you know, I got to take communion. I'm not going to do wrong today because it's Communion Sunday. And the truth of the matter is, God is expecting more from us every day. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can download the outline at our website or go to our app, wherever you get your app, the Good Hope app, and you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline there. Romans chapter 12 is our foundational scripture today. And in Romans chapter 12, we are challenged as believers to be devoted to God. Paul challenges us that everything that we do, everything that we have, everything that we say should reflect our devotion to God. Anything less than total devotion to God is selling who God is short. So Paul begins discussing our relationship with God in terms of our devotion to God. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, if you're going to be an everyday Christian, you must commit to worshiping God every day. You must commit to worshiping God every day. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. My late pastor, Dr. A. Lewis Patterson, would say whenever you see a therefore or wherefore in the passage, you need to find out what the therefore is there for. Romans chapter 12 links us to the first 11 chapters of the book of Revelation. And it's throughout the book of Romans, I'm sorry. And in the book of Romans, God moves us through a theological journey in terms of where we were, where we are, and what God expects from us. In Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 3, Paul describes our condemnation, that we were sinners in need of salvation, that our very nature was a sin nature. So he talks about condemnation. But in Romans chapter 3 through Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about now the movement from condemnation to justification. He says we've been justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. God so loved us, right, that he paid for our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. He moves from condemnation in the first three chapters to justification in chapters 3 through 5 to now when we get to Romans chapter 6, he talks about our sanctification. He says, now that you've moved from condemnation to justification, we got to get your sanctification straight. We got to make sure that you are living in a way that honors God, because you don't want to be justified and still living like you're a sinner, unsaved by grace. He moves from condemnation to justification to sanctification to now when he gets to Romans chapter 9 through Romans chapter 11, he says, now that you've experienced a movement from condemnation to justification to sanctification, you have a responsibility to take on proclamation. You got to tell somebody else about what God has done in your life. But when we get to Romans chapter 12, he shifts again. Remember, he started off with condemnation. Then he talked about our justification, our need to experience sanctification, both immediately and progressively. He moves to proclamation, but now in Romans chapter 12, he starts talking about our devotion to God. And he says, how is this devotion to manifest itself in our lives? He says, you got to practice devotion and dedication to God. And here's the message that he says. Because of the mercies of God, because of the love of God that you have received, he said, this is what you should be giving back to God. It's nothing extraordinary. It's reasonable based on what the Lord has done. Listen, we love to profess that we love the Lord, and we are quick to raise both of our hands when we talk about how the Lord loves us. But here's what God says. If you really know, if you really believe that I love you, then how should you respond to me? See, sometimes when people mistreat us, the question that we might need to ask is, do you really believe that I love you? Because if you believe that I love you, then how do you justify treating me the way you treat me? And God says, if you really believe I loved you, if you experience condemnation and justification and sanctification and have been compelled to practice proclamation, then why is it that I can't get dedication from you? That's the least I should get from you. Think about what God has done for you. He's met your desperate need to get right with him. He's provided you the power to be set free from the strongholds and the bondages of life. He's given you a right to eternal life. He's given you the most glorious purpose in life, and that is to be a proclaimer and a practitioner of the love of God among people who need Jesus and people who need to grow in Jesus. And here's what Paul says, in light of those mercies, in light of that love, he says, God expects you to devote yourself to him. Now, here's what I need you to get. Don't miss this. Write this down somewhere. It's daily worship. It's daily worship. See, being a Christian starts with totally surrendering to God every day, not just on Sunday. Daily worship is not just singing, it's how you live, it's how you think, it's how you speak. And being a living sacrifice means to be dedicated and set apart for God every day. Let's be honest. For most of us, our best Christian day of the week is Sunday. That's about as good as it gets. And God says, no. See, you got six other days. He says, Sunday should be the day for you to recharge and refuel and reengage and rededicate yourself. But we ought to see your best imitation of Jesus, not on Sunday, but all week long. See, worship is not just what you do or where you go on Sunday. Worship is a lifestyle. Everybody say lifestyle. You've got to learn how to live a lifestyle of worship. Can I tell you something that you may not know? Every day of your life, you worship. No. Every day of your life, you worship. Here's the problem. You're not always worshiping God. Everywhere you go is an act of worship. Everything you do is an act of worship. Everything you think is an act of worship. Where your feet go is an act of worship. What your hands touch is an act of worship. The problem is you're not always worshiping God. Because many times God is not on the throne when you're doing what you're doing. You are on the throne. So the question is not, are you worshiping? The question is, to whom are you giving worship at that moment? Because when your eyes are looking at what you shouldn't look at, and your ears are listening to what you shouldn't be listening to, and your hands are touching what you got no business touching, and your feet are going where they have no business going, you are worshiping. The problem is God is not on the throne. And so Paul says, based on the love of God that God has shown by his mercies, I want you to present your bodies to God. Summa is the word in the original language. Your physical body. Don't get deep. Don't get metaphysical. He said, no. Give God your body. Don't be talking about, my mind is saying yes, but my body is telling me. No. Give God your body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Let's read it together in verse 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Underline that phrase. So glorify God in your body. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Number two, you must resist being conformed to the culture every day. You must resist being conformed to the cultural, to the culture of this world every day. Chapter 12, verse 2, the A part, Romans, the text says, do not be conformed to this world. Now, one of the things that we understand about conformity is it really is the result of acquiescing or giving yourself over or allowing yourself to be molded. And when you are molded, when you are shaped, you look like that which is molding you. He says, don't be conformed to the world. That word conform comes from the root word schema, which means to fashion or create an outward form, the appearance of something. For example, I think about Jell-O, and if you wanted to create a Jell-O mold, you would put it in a certain mold, and then that Jell-O, once it cooled and gelled, it would take on that image. Or maybe you have a cake, and you are baking that cake, and you want that cake to take a particular shape, you would put it in a mold and it would take the form of the mold that it was put in. Paul says, don't be conformed to the image of this world. The world wants to squeeze you. The world wants to squeeze me into a mold, always pressing us, always trying to shape our values. It tells you to value money and status and pleasure and popularity, but Paul reminds you that every day as a believer, as a child of God, you must resist being molded. Let me give you a quick example. My wife and I got to a season where we just stopped watching the news. Just stopped watching it. Somebody said, well, how do you know what's going on? Don't know. But we stopped watching the news. Because we were so inundated, especially during COVID, man, it was so much bad news that we just found ourselves getting depressed, you know, and just feeling some kind of way, just the negativity just weighing on us. And it's like, yeah, and here we are being conformed. That's why you got to be careful, for example, what you watch and what you listen to, because it'll mold you, it'll shape you, and it will form you into a way that you don't need to be. Now, here's what's interesting. Remember when Paul is writing this, Romans chapter 12, he's not writing to unbelievers, he's writing to believers. And I need you to understand that when Paul talks about us being molded and conformed, he's not just talking about the things of the world, he's really talking about anything that is contrary to the will, the word, and the way of God. Now, somebody may ask the question, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? Let me put a quarter in the meter and park there for a second. The reason I'm saying that is because there's some stuff even in church that we have allowed to mold us and shape us into an image that is not of God. There's some stuff that we do in the church of Jesus Christ that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ or the church. It's not biblical. It is rooted in our tradition, in our preferences, and we get mad when somebody doesn't do what we like, the way we define church, based on our tradition, based on our personal likes and our preferences. And here's what Paul says. Don't be conformed. If anything, let God mold you. And let God shape you. See, practicing religion over having a relationship with God is being molded to conform to something that God does not want. Being applauded for being a spectator and not a participator is being molded into an image. You feeling like it's okay to sit instead of serving, you have been molded. you focus on coming to church one day instead of being church every day is a result of you being molded into something. Somebody asked me, they said, well, Pastor, you're talking about stuff that nobody in the church is talking about. And I said, that's okay, because I know Jesus was talking about it. And the churchtainment that we see going on Sunday, where folk are walking in raggedy living and thinking somehow they are closer to God because of a concert that takes place on Sunday morning. Don't walk out of here and think because I'm your pastor, you a better Christian. Because the truth of the matter is, my grandmama was right. Every tub sits on its own bottom. And you have to see the Lord for yourself. You've got to live by God's standards and not the world's standards. Look at 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. Let's read it together. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Every sin that you commit in life falls into one of three categories. It's right there in the text. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And John says all of those need to be abandoned so that you can do the will of God. Let's go to the third thing. And then I'm going to let you go. Number three, you need to make sure you work to have your mind renewed every day. If you're going to be an everyday Christian, you've got to work to make sure your mind is renewed every day. Somebody say every day. Boy, if I don't accomplish anything else in my lifetime, if I get you to be a Christian sure enough every day, if I can get you to be salt and light every day, if I can get you to walk in obedience to the will of God for your life every day, how much better not only will your life be, how much would that change your family, your friends, your job, everywhere you go? If we can get you to walk in who God has created you to be every day. Look at the B part, Romans chapter 12. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, remember, there's an ongoing battle for your mind. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Scripture says, as a person thinks in their hearts, so are they. Right? All of us have known people with tremendous talent, but bad thinking. It's the mind that makes the difference. And Paul says, you've got to work to make sure your mind is being renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The sin-filled mind is selfish, it's self-centered, it's self-seeking. The sin-filled mind is focused on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The sin-filled mind is focused on stockpiling cash, cars, clothes, commodities, and creature comforts. But Paul says all of us need to experience transformation and an ongoing renewing of our minds. Now, what does that mean? That means it's not one time and that's it. No, you ought to be in a constant place and a constant position where God is growing you. You should not be today where you were 5 years ago. And 5 years from now, you should be further along than where you are today. You should be constantly pressing, asking God to keep you from being conformed, taking responsibility for where you are, and putting in the work to allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. That word transformed is an interesting word. It's where we get the word metamorphosis from, right? And a metamorphosis takes place where there's a change, listen carefully, on the inside that manifests itself eventually on the outside. You don't change from the outside in, you change from the inside out. You don't change just what you do, you better change who you are. Because if you don't change who you are, you'll go back to doing what you used to do. Somebody ought to hear me in here today. Let me see if I can help somebody. One of the challenges, and I think there's somebody right now, thank you, Holy Spirit, who's watching right now, you decided that you were going to give your life to Christ. And that's a wonderful decision. Here's the problem. You thought being a Christian meant that you had to behave a certain way, and you didn't realize that your behavior has to challenge and follow your beliefs. And because you didn't change who you are, you didn't keep doing what you should be doing too long. There's a whole lot of Christians who are like sparklers. They light quick, burn bright, and don't burn long. And God says, no. I need you to make some shifts and some changes. You've got to be transformed from the inside out. He says, by the renewing of your mind. You've got to be adjusted, readjusted, changed, turn around. You can't live for Christ today and walk like you walked in your yesterday. He says you got to have the mind of Christ. We saw many years ago that phrase, bracelets, all WWJD. What would Jesus do? I don't know if we need to renew that, but it sure would be nice to start thinking about what would Jesus do. Because some of us think because we are Christians, it justifies whatever we do. And he says, no. You can't justify what you do simply because you are a Christian. As a Christian, you have a greater responsibility to walk like Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Go to Colossians 3:10, the New Living Translation. Let's read it together. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You can't live a godly life with a worldly mind. As you think differently, you will live differently. And he says, live in a way that you will prove, that you will find and follow what is God's will, God's perfect will, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect in the eyesight of God. Listen, I want to encourage you, as you get ready for work on tomorrow, maybe like Sunday, you'll start laying out your clothes on tonight. Or maybe you're retired, you don't even wear a watch anymore. And you start thinking and you start asking God, God, what do you want me to do with my life? How can I live a life that is submitted to you? You got to love God and others. You've got to learn the principles and precepts of God's word. Let me throw one in here. You got to learn how to listen to the leading of the Spirit of God. You've got to live out your faith every chance you get, and you've got to lead others to do the same. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to see where you go every day as a potential mission field. Where do you work? Holy Spirit, show me. Give me opportunities to minister to somebody. Where do you go to school? Holy Ghost, show me. Help me see who you want me to minister to. Because watch this. God has you there for a purpose. And can I tell you something that you may not realize? God has you in places that I could never go. Talking to people that as a preacher, I could never talk to. That's why God has you where you are. Have you prayed and said, God, why do you have me where I am? God, why am I working in this place? God, why do I have this position? I don't care if you are a janitor at McDonald's. Why does God have you there? Because I'm telling you, there's a God purpose for your life everywhere God has you. If your praise only works on Sunday, then your walk won't be right on Monday. Because God is not calling you to part-time praise. He's calling you to full-time faith. Child of God, just don't sing. Come prepared to sacrifice. Don't just shout. Come prepared to serve. Don't just attend and be part of an audience. Be aligned and become part of God's army. Don't just come and blend in. Come to experience a breakthrough. Don't just talk differently, but walk differently as a disciple of Jesus. The world is loud. It's calling. I said the world is loud, but God is calling. The pressure is real, but so is his power. So I want to challenge you today to stand up, step up, and live out your faith, not just one day a week, but every day of the week that ends in the letter Y. That ought to be your day to be an everyday Christian. To commit not just with your lips, but with your life. To resist not by willpower, but by God's power. To renew your life because your mind can't stay holy today on yesterday's thoughts. And if you want to walk strong in a world that's going wrong, you've got to worship intentionally. You've got to resist courageously. And you've got to renew consistently. Because God wants you to be an everyday Christian. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, God, for somebody who may be wondering, somebody who may be watching. God, help them to know that if they are frustrated with not being used by you as they desire, that the usage rate goes up exponentially when they move from just expecting you to use them on Sunday to allowing you to use them every day of the week. Help us, God, to be an everyday Christian. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.